You're listening to Real Women Courageous Wisdom, hosted by Women for One truth teller, my friend and author, Kara Bradley. Real Women Courageous Wisdom is a podcast series featuring Women for One truth tellers, everyday women and kindred spirits passionate about sharing their journeys and inspiring others.
Hey everyone, it's Kara Bradley here, your host of Real Women Courageous Wisdom. I am super, super pumped today to bring to you Ginny. Ginny Taylor is a writer, mentor, and she's the founder of Women of Wonder. She has a lot to share with us. I am not even going to try to explain it because she has a super, super truth-telling beautiful piece on Women for One that I hope you all go and read. But it is my pleasure to welcome Ginny. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you, Kara. It's my pleasure. I'm just so excited to be here today.
Well, we're so happy that you, found Women for One. Could you tell us how you stumbled upon the site and then how it felt to share your story?
Sure. As you mentioned, I have a site called Women of Wonder, and it's really probably a pretty funny story, but in the process of trying to come up with a URL that would sustain, and as I tried to come up with a brand name, I happened to stumble across a lot of women's sites, and including Kelly's Women for One, and was just so taken with the idea of truth-telling. And the idea of truth tellers and of those stories and of making those stories available for other women to read. I thought it's just such a very empowering way of sharing a story, but not so much a story of defeat, but rather a story of courage and bravery and being a real inspiration to so many other women. So I think that tags into your second question, how I felt about doing that story. I've told my story a number of times as a writer, but every time I tell my story, I find out I peel a little bit deeper into that onion of trauma and that onion of healing. And for me, telling my story allows me to peel again, just further into the core of what is really going on. So the truth-telling article that I did, I think just helped me to come up with a different kind of metaphor for what healing was like for me at that point in time in my life. Mm. So it was a great experience for me. And I'm very humbled and honored that it's out there for the world to see too.
Yeah. It's so interesting in all the interviews that I'm doing with truth tellers, you know, we all have the same, you know, so much of the same experience of, you know, pressing send and knowing our story is out there. It's almost like it opens the gate in some ways and frees us just in sharing our story. It's so simple, like you said, just truth telling and sharing. Can you tell us a little bit about your story and what you did share?
Sure. My story is that at the age of 10, while I was at a summer camp, a church camp, believe it or not, and in Pennsylvania, I was molested. And at the time that it happened, I really wasn't sure what had happened to me. And as a result, and I think partly because of the culture and growing up in the late 60s, we didn't talk about these things. And I had no language for expressing it either at that point in time. So I bottled it up inside of me, and I kept it inside for really about 30 years, driving me further and further into depression, even though I had no idea that was kind of the root of what was at my depression that occupied my 20s, my 30s, my raising of my children, going into my 40s as well. So things started to crumble for me. Probably in my 40s when my oldest child graduated from high school, and that support system structure that I had built around myself and who I was as a mother, and it started to come apart because I knew my children were growing up and that I wanted them to grow up and move on into life, but they were kind of that house of cards that held my self-esteem together. And when that house of cards started to come apart, I really crumbled, and I had no idea what was going on. It was why me? What is happening? Why am I crying? You know, is it hormonal? Is it whatever? Mm-hmm. I think you go through a whole list of different reasons. And none of them really made any sense to me. I really didn't feel I had a good reason to be this depressed. So it was really on a retreat at one point in time where I was talking with a spiritual director and I just couldn't stop crying. And she said to me, is there anything that could be bothering you? And somewhere out of the midst of my agony, this bubbled up that I told her for the first time. And it was that feeling of what you just described, is that I got my story out and someone else now held that story for me. Someone else was kind of sharing that container of holding that for me. And that was such a release and such a gift. Unfortunately, I thought I was, that was it. I was done. I told my story. I told it once. Now I'm done. I'm healed. Boom. That's it. And it was, it's really been a lifelong learning experience to really realize that's not how it works on a healing journey. So.
Oh, wow. So many things are coming up as you're speaking. And one of the insights that keeps kind of tapping my brain as you speak is we are just incredible beings. I mean, complex, you know, the complexity of our life experience, that it can take that kind of unfurling and unfolding, you know, over time. Like you said, the onion just, you know, kept peeling away at the onion. It's so powerful that I think, you know, sometimes if we understood the enormous brilliance of who we are, you know, we would almost like just allow it all to happen because it's a brilliant unfolding. Brilliant. You know, and I just met you and I feel like I can feel that, you know, that slow wave of uncovering, of uncovering and uncovering. And so many of us live alone with all that, where if we realize that we're all unfurling and unfolding, maybe it's a different story, but it's still this brilliant human experience.
Oh, absolutely. I'm just always amazed at the mind and what the mind is able to hold and conceal and reveal at different times, depending on what is coming forth in your lives. And I think the older that we get too, as mature women, we've had more and more layers of trauma in different ways kind of build in to our own story, so that sometimes it's hard to figure out where is this feeling really coming from. Is it coming from the fact that my grandmother passed away or my dog passed away, or is it coming from something else that's really, you know, not even related to that? But there, it's like this web that's just kind of connected, and one little jiggle over here kind of starts the whole web, you know, quivering. It's amazing to me sometimes that we survive as well as we do. And we do. We really, really do. We are amazing, beautiful women to be on this, you know, on this planet.
Yes. Yes. Well said. And in my interviewing with so many of the truth tellers from all over the world, recognizing we all carry stories. And, you know, something you said before, again, I am always getting kind of a visual sense of things. When you were talking about submitting your story to Women for One, and then also in telling this one woman, I believe it was a Catholic nun?
It was, yeah.
Yeah, that you told your story to, that when you were able to offer that story, it was almost like now they held my story. Now she holds my story. And I feel like Women for One in the, and I've never verbalized this, but the website itself feels like such a safe space, like such a warm, and I don't even know, I mean, Kelly, I'm sure she understands this at some level, but it's always hard to hold the magnitude as to how we can affect the world. But she truly has created a container where we can, in many ways, dump our story and allow it to be held by millions.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's a beautiful way of saying that. Yes, yes. And I think that's kind of what I experienced, was this idea of, it felt very safe when I had gone to the website to look at other stories and to realize how vulnerable people were willing to be with their story, with trusting it to whoever would come, you know, to that site. It feels very holy to me, and very much like a sanctuary. Yes. That sense of safety and that sense of being honored. So, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to offer to the world, where we don't have enough of those spaces.
Yes,
I don't think.
Yes. So thank you, Kelly. I know you'll be listening at some point from all of us. Well,
yes,
and now,
sir.
So Ginny, now you are supporting other women. You support other women through writing and through mentorship. Can you tell us about that?
Once I had kind of got my life back into some kind of non-chaotic sense, I realized that I wanted to help other women. I wanted to help other women break their silence of their stories. Sexual trauma is something that is still very much taboo in the world today. Our culture does not encourage us to tell stories about this. And it just seems as though every place you go, people really, in some ways, honestly, don't know how to respond to you when you even say, this happened to me. Mm-hmm. And I think we just don't do enough of engaging in that kind of a conversation. That also involves, okay, I'm here. Well, how do I heal and move forward? So with Women of Wonder, what I've tried to do is create a sanctuary for women online where they can come and they can find some resources and they can also find a sense of hope and a sense of tools that might help them along on their healing journey. So what I've been able to do is look at my life and figure out, well, what had helped me alongside of therapy and antidepressants and those types of medical therapeutics that I was engaging in? What else was I able to do for myself that encouraged me to move forward and to break the shame that was inside, to no longer be silent about what had happened? And to do so in a healing, holistic kind of way. So with that in mind, I am in the process of launching what's called the Wonder Compass. And the Wonder is an acronym, actually, for six different circles that are really interconnected, because we really can't, again, it's kind of like that web where we can't do one therapeutic activity or holistic activity without really kind of connecting to another one. But these six circles interconnect and form the word, the acronym of Wonder. And Wonder is very important to me. It was a very pivotal moment in my life when I was once again at this retreat center, but in a cabin, and I was sitting there. It was 10 years after I had told my story to this nun, this sister, and I was sitting there realizing that I am just, this is amazing that I'm here, sitting here, still alive after all this time, because so many moments were so dark that I really didn't think I was going to make it. And the cabin happened to be called Wonder. That was the name of the cabin. So it was that kind of wonder, the awe that I had for being physically present. So that word has really played into a lot of what I want to offer women. I want to rejuvenate and offer them some of what goes against the anti-wonder of the trauma, of the sexual abuse, of the depression that follows, which is very much living to me like in a land of anti-wonder. It's all just kind of vanilla, I guess, or even gray maybe might be a better color for that. So that's what I'm trying to do now. I'm working on offerings that incorporate this idea of wandering inside is a part of that wonder circle, owning your story and transforming yourself. Again, thinking along the lines of those truth tellers and how when I was able to own my story, it was transformative for me personally. We have to take care of ourselves. So nurturing ourselves is very important. Creativity is very important for us as women, that we get our hands involved in something that's making, that's more of a process instead of dwelling on the product. Mm-hmm. Being in a community, engaging in community, and then remembering gratitude. So those are basically the six circles that make up this wonder compass. Are reminders for me personally. These are what I still come back to on my journey.
Yeah, I mean, those are great for any of us. Just to continue to remember. I love the word wonder. I've never really sat with it before. I tend to gravitate toward more magic, you know, not magic, like woo-woo magic, but just when things are magical. But I do, you know, agree with you that, and I haven't had the experience that you've had, but we've certainly all had experiences that have taken the wonder out of our lives, you know, and it happens to us at such a young age that it almost feels like as we age, it's refinding, relearning how to live in a world of wonder.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That it's almost developing that childlike curiosity that we talk about sometimes in yoga or meditation, and also that childlike sense of play. We begin to become so concerned with our to-do list and getting through the day that we forget how important it is to include some kind of activity that brings us nothing but joy.
Oh, I am so with you. I am with you 100%. In fact, there is a wonderful word in Sanskrit called lila, L-I-L-A, and it means divine play. It really is that, you know, delightful, joyful lightness of just being alive.
Yes, that is a beautiful word, a beautiful interpretation.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, and I was telling you, Ginny, before we got on the phone, I, you know, just lost my dog a few weeks ago, and it was my first dog, and my dog brought back that sense of childlike giddiness, silliness, that it really was a, you know, he helped me to rekindle that in my life. So,
of course.
Yeah.
Yes. And how much more alive we can feel, and that sense of life that we can then bring into the world through whatever we want to offer the world, whether it's through helping other women or whatever our lives might be about, and whatever we're doing professionally or volunteering with, when we can bring that energy and that life and that sense of wonder into the project before us. That's just a positive expression in the world that we can't take for granted.
Yeah.
That the world needs, the I think, world at this needs. Point in time.
Absolutely, because it's infectious and it's contagious.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
So I have a question for you. Can you share something with us, those of us that are listening to you, that can maybe help us cultivate a little bit more wonder in our lives?
One of the things that I do quite frequently is to just sit in silence. I love sitting in silence out in nature and just allowing whatever is to just be. And I'm always amazed the closer I get to something in nature, like the bud on a tree here in Northeast Ohio, things are finally starting to, you know, bud and bloom. And just the idea of looking at, you know, a daffodil that's blooming outside. And really getting up close with that and noticing how it feels and how it smells and how it might just feel as a touch against your face. And just to really spend some time with the beauty of this very simple, very hardy spring flower can just be a really quick little moment of bringing some of that joy into your life. So I find a lot of those moments when I take the time to be still and to just notice what's around me, especially outside. Yeah.
You are speaking my language. That is it, you know, and it's this full sensory, allowing ourselves the opportunity to just have a full sensory experience, you know, of what, when we're eating, when we're listening, or especially when we're outside.
Absolutely.
Just looking up at the sky, just to give ourselves that permission to pause.
Yes.
And to experience life.
Yes.
Because it is wondrous. It is so wondrous out there.
It really is. And I think there's so much that we're plagued with and bombarded with that would try to tell us otherwise.
Yes.
And that just can continue to just kind of keep pushing us down. And when we're already carrying around so much other it's not really baggage, but it's just really other layers of that onion, I guess, that taking those moments to allow that joy or that wonder to break in is really, I think, that a crack in which the light gets in. There's that Leonard Cohen song, I believe, where the crack is how the light gets in.
That's right.
And once that light gets in, you just never know what might happen to how we feel about ourselves and other people. So
beautiful, beautiful. I'm gonna stop on that dime because that's just, it's perfect. It's perfect. Well, and I'm so glad that you you shared your story with Women for One, and that you were able to get to the point on your journey where you're able to then support other women on their journey. I mean, it's really, it's what life is about anyway. It's really I think Ram Dass said, walking each other home.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, we're all just walking each other home.
We are. We are.
Wow. Well, wonderful. Can you please tell us where we can find you online?
Yes. You can find me online at womenforwondercircle.com. I'm available there. I'm also on Facebook as Women of Wonder, and Twitter as Jin Lee Tate. So
okay, great. And it's womenofwonder.com.
Women of Wonder.
I know it's very close
it's
to Women
of Wonder Circle.com because of Wonder was already taken, so I had to throw the circle in, which actually really does apply to so much.
Sure.
This idea of being in a circle of women.
Perfect. So Women of Wonder Circle.com.
Circle.com.
Yes.
Well, Women for One, yes.
Women and Women for One, of course. Well, thank you all for listening. I certainly enjoyed this conversation with Ginny, who's just blossoming. I could just see her blossoming with her joy and wonder. So thank you all for listening, and we will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to Women for One's podcast series, Real Women, Courageous Wisdom. If you like what you just heard, we hope you will subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and leave a review. If you're interested in becoming a Women for One truth teller, visit womenforone.com to learn more. For more information about our host, Kara Bradley, visit her site, karabradley.net. Join us next time for another enlightening conversation with powerful, everyday women.